Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. Lottie and I are continuing the Rebels rewatch. Now, the following episodes were pre-recorded this past summer. We are now posting all of Season 1 here on Star Wars Hangout. If you have thoughts on Rebels Season 2, get those transmissions in ASAP, and we'll feature you on the show. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you. Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie.
And we are back with our Rebels rewatch, friends. We're into episode 14 today. Sweetie, how are you doing?
I'm really good. I don't know if you can hear the birds outside.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just over there thinking, in another lifetime, I'm going to be like a bird, a person who studies birds.
Okay.
And watches birds.
Okay.
Because they're fascinating.
Yes,
and
they are.
They have, when you wake up to birds chirping, it's just like, I don't know, it just gives you that comfort that...
It's nice.
It's calming.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And I actually, so my mom, one of my first books, we went to like an exhibition or something and they had little stores there. And I saw this book with a bird on it, and it was not even a kid's book, but it was like a book about regional birds to Germany.
Okay.
And
yeah.
It would give you a picture, and then where do you find them? What do they look like? What do males, females look like? What do they eat? Do they, you know, travel, whatever?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Mom, I don't know why I begged her to buy me that book.
Really?
Until she did.
Wow.
And I remember sitting in front of my window at home, just trying to see some birds. And even if I didn't, I just flipped through the book and I loved the pictures. And
right.
I don't know, I was just fascinated with
it. Didn't you have birds growing up? You had a couple birds.
I had, Well, we would call them budgies or like parrot birds.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
They were so cute.
Yeah. Well, that's yep. Cool. Yeah. Well, interesting connection to Rebels. There are a bunch of birds. There's actually a whole bunch of... symbolism and stuff associated with various birds in Star Wars, and one in particular.
Cool.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that character next episode in 15, though. But, yeah, so remind me about that. We'll talk about...
Okay, I will.
...a bird connection.
I feel bad, though. I think every episode you ask me, how are you doing, sweetie? And I never ask you back, sweetie. Why not?
Oh, because everyone knows I'm doing fine. They know I'm talking Star Wars, so they know Ez is good.
No, tell you know? Me.
No, I honestly am great. I'm happy you got to see, we watched both episodes. We're talking 14, and we're going to dive right into 15 afterwards. Mm-hmm. But I'm doing great. We had a really good breakfast, which was awesome. Lottie makes these like brownies in a cup.
Yes.
And I mean, those are like heaven. I don't even know what's going on there, but you just put it in a cup, mix it up, and it's in the microwave.
I know. It's been a thing for ages, but I just discovered how awesome they are. Because one night I was just like, I want to make something for dessert, but I only had this whole brownie mix, and I didn't want to make a whole, you know,
the whole thing of it.
The whole thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And then
because we'll eat the whole thing.
That's right. That's the problem. Then you want to eat more than you actually need, or I don't know. You just feel sick after.
Right.
And so that's why I discovered, just make little mug cakes or mug brownies.
Yeah, no, that, awesome. Yeah, that's great. Also, you know, since you asked me how I'm doing, I want to mention, we kind of, yesterday, we went to the Columbus Convention Center, and yes. I'm bringing this up because Star Wars Celebration is going on, and it's going to be happening in a couple weeks. I also listened to another podcast you guys should check. Well, I listened to several. Yeah, there's a bunch of really good ones. There's a podcast that is headed down to Nashville, Tennessee. And it's the collectors, sort of, it's like a toy collectors convention down there. And I've just called ICCC. So ICCC Con. Yeah. And it looks awesome. I've never been to it, but you've got the Mandalorian Mercs. You've got all sorts of other individuals down there. The 501st are going to be there. Yeah, it's just great. It features toy collectors. Vendors from across the nation, around the world, dozens of guest stars signing autographs, taking photos from franchises like Star Wars, Harry Potter, Power Rangers, and more. So they're down there, and I'd never even heard of this one. So if you guys have other kind of smaller cons that you know about that are in your state or nearby or something cool like this, like, let me know, because I have major FOMO right now, and we haven't even got to Star Wars Celebration. And so the other day I was like, okay, let's go to the convention center. First, I went to Big Fun in downtown Columbus. I went to take Lottie there. But we had to go to the bathroom. So, okay, we reversed the plan, which was, let's now go to the convention center and use the bathroom. Then we'll go to Big Fun. Then we'll come back. Big Fun is like a toy. It's a retro toy store. You guys should look that up, too. They have a nice website. And so we're in there. And, like, there's all sorts of, like, your favorite sport is volleyball, because you played volleyball at a pretty high level.
Right.
And, like, they're in there. There's a whole volleyball convention tournament thing
going on.
It was
huge. Yeah. It was for kids, though. But right. It was cool. It reminded me so much of, you know, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I played volleyball. And what surprised me, though, they were six people on the court. And we didn't introduce, like, six against six until we were older. So we started out, you start out two against two on a tiny court. And we were, like, what, 7, 8 years old. Mm. And then it's, I think, around 9 or 10, you play 3 against 3, and then 4 against 4, and then 6 against 6. Mm-hmm. Not until you're, like, 15 or 16. Yeah. So that surprised me.
Yeah, yeah. I was just surprised by how many people were in there, and it had a total, like, convention feel to it. And yeah. I was like, it was awesome. I was really happy that it was. Not only did you get to see how big that convention center was, but you also get to see volleyball convention stuff happening.
Yeah, and a dance competition. What was the other one?
Yeah, dance competition. There was also a sneaker convention going on. Like, it had so many different smaller things happening at once.
I couldn't believe how big it was.
Yeah, we walked all the way to the other side. Then we also saw some nerds lining up to play some games. There was a big sign up for gaming, like cards and different stuff. So we went to the comic book shop in there. It's beautiful. If you have a chance to go to the Columbus Convention Center, I would say check it out. Mm-hmm. Some weekends are boring, you know, there's not much going on, but sometimes there's like a lot happening all at once, and it's just so weird to see that mix of girls who are dressed up to dance. They had their dance party, you had people just showing up to get sneakers, they had special speakers and sneaker convention, and then you had like a ton of volleyball girls, and then you had a ton of nerds showing up to game. Like, it was the most random combination.
That was perfect.
Yeah, you've ever seen. Yeah. So, but I brought that up because I know we're a couple weeks away from the premiere of Kenobi on Disney Plus. We also have a lot of stuff happening at Star Wars Celebration. So Matt and I will be covering that live. The live streams will be happening, and we will be discussing all those cool things. So, yeah, I'm excited, real excited for that. So, okay, are we ready to dive in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So we are into episode 14. This is Rebel Resolve. So, after failing to find where Kanan is being detained, Hera urged by Fulcrum to put the crew of the Ghost into hiding. Against Hera's orders to leave Kanan, Ezra devises a plan to rescue him. He strikes a deal with Visago for an unspecified favor in the future and learns that due to the destruction of the Imperial Communication Tower, the Empire is forced to send all of its messages via courier droid. Meanwhile, Kanan is brought aboard Tarkin's ship, where he is tortured by the Inquisitor as the Empire hopes to gain more information about the rebels. The crew of the Ghost substitute a disguised chopper for an Imperial courier droid so he can access the Emperor's, the Empire's data on Kanan, eventually learning that Tarkin plans to transfer Kanan to the prison on Mustafar, where, according to Hera, Jedi go to die. Wow. So, yeah, this episode was pretty neat. I think it's just like one of those things where, gosh, like, Kanan's gone, and you can really feel this loss or whatever, and you can tell that they're all kind of struggling with it. So, I don't know. What did you think, sweetie? Did you have any initial thoughts?
I really celebrate it that what the is back.
Yeah. What the?
We heard a couple of times the bucket heads.
Yeah, the bucket heads. What the?
What the?
Where the?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is cool.
And I had that what the moment with Chopper a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
First, he can fly.
He can fly.
Like on a planet. And then he turns into a rocket. He's like, he can fly in space.
In space. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Right out the gate, Chopper is flying up here. They're getting into a little walker, you know, and like Ezra's pulling the guys out of there, and Chopper is like just flying over. He's on a building. He just ignites his
this
rocket.
This whole time.
Booster power.
You just see him like roll around. And remember when he stole, was it Visago? No, that other guy. Yeah. Where he wanted to take Hera. And like keep that guy, and he stole something.
Oz Morgan or whatever his name was. Yeah.
Oh no! It was It was
Okay, you said stole Hera.
Lando.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lando's stuff. No.
Yeah, but in that same episode is Oz Morgan.
Right, that was the same episode, right? And then he steals some stuff from him, and he rolled like really slow, like.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or whenever they need him to rescue them or whatever, he's just. You never knew, but I guess you're not as surprised because that's something that droids can do, right?
Yeah, they can. Also, I think we saw this in the prequels. R2-D2 has little tiny jetpacks that pop out on the side, and he can actually fly in episode 2, I think, for a hot second.
Okay.
So, like, if you're not looking, you miss that moment. You know what I mean? If you miss when R2, like, C-3PO falls forward. In the, it's like they're on Geonosis, I think, when Anakin's going to rescue Obi-Wan. This is episode 2. This is like in the big movies, right? Mm-hmm. And R2 has these, no one knew that R2 had these little tiny jetpacks that he could just like on the side and he could jet over and fly. We had no idea that R2 could fly. For years, he never did. And George Lucas was like, well, of course he can fly. He just never had to. You know, and then maybe when he was older, the rockets didn't work or something. Who knows? So when you see it, you're like, this is awesome. You know, Chopper can fly.
Yeah.
And, it just makes him more.
That was really cool. My eyes got like this big.
Yeah. It's another jaw dropping moment.
Yeah.
So
it's the little things.
Yeah.
But yeah. Also, you learn that, I mean, we already know that the rebels, they're a big deal. Like they really need to stop him, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And they even take like the Empire or the Imperial forces there. They take down their entire data network just to stop the rebels from finding out where Kanan is, right? And to communicate because they just send out a big message to everyone. And
right.
So that means they cannot communicate really. Well, they have the droids and whatever. They
find
the other
droids,
ways, but it's much, much more complicated.
Right.
So that showed me again that rebels must be a super big deal.
They're causing people to rise up, and I mean the Imperials want to pacify you. They want you to just be good, to just chill out, you know, go along with the plan, don't really ask any questions, and just do what you're told, kind of.
Yeah.
So it makes their job more difficult when we've got rebels like Ezra out there trying to inspire people. And actually, when Hera in this episode is talking to Fulcrum, so she says Kanan wanted to inspire people. He wanted to give them hope. And that's exactly what they did. So, well, he was successful. You have a moment where, like you said, they knock out the tower.
Mm-hmm.
And they're willing to go through courier droids,
yeah,
just so that way that message is not still being broadcast or they can't do more damage. So Tarkin is definitely willing to do all those things. So, yeah. Now, the other thing is, I don't know if you noticed this, but in this episode, Fulcrum keeps saying things like, we need to protect your unit and Ezra. We need to do this and we need to do that. Mm-hmm. And we need to watch out over Ezra. Like, every second or third line, Fulcrum is saying your unit and Ezra,
mm-hmm,
like numerous times saying this. So there's something, it's like there's something special about Ezra that Fulcrum wants to protect.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I heard, well, I didn't realize it was that he or she.
Yeah. And we can say it now because, yeah, because again, you've watched both episodes.
Right.
So Ahsoka.
Ahsoka.
What?
And I, sweetie, I knew it. I mentioned her,
yeah,
at one point. I don't know if it was.
You did.
Was it when we talked about Fulcrum,
yeah, Fulcrum
the first time?
You totally guessed
and
Fulcrum.
And you were like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, baby.
No, I don't think so. Maybe you saw it wrong. She's in another animated Star Wars series. So maybe you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
You?
Yeah. Well, hey, I just want to keep you guessing. I can't tell you all. I can't. You know, I don't want to spoil everything.
No, that was good. I had no idea.
If you spoil those big moments, it's sort of like, okay, well.
Yeah. I was itching to know who Fulcrum was, so I had to keep myself from Googling it. And now I just found out because we watched the,
yeah, the final
season
episode.
No,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So that was good. But no, I thought, didn't she mention O'Hara? Like, yeah, we need to keep focusing on the bigger mission.
Yeah. On
and
the,
I was
on the,
like,
yeah,
well, the rebels, really, what's the bigger mission? Because as we found out in the episode 15, most of them didn't really know, right, that
they didn't
they
know
were
each other
part of a bigger mission.
Not the other crew. Hera did.
Okay.
Hera stands next to Fulcrum and basically says, you know, in case we were captured, in case this happened, this was the plan, mm-hmm, is that the rebel cells would not know one another.
Yeah.
Someone secret like Bail Organa would be behind all of it.
Yeah.
And that person would be an overseer watching the various rebel cells and watching them grow, watching how efficient they were,
mm-hmm,
seeing whether they could function independently. Are they ready to be brought into a larger group? Could we start to kind, mm-hmm, of bring these things together? Mm-hmm. So this is the beginnings of it. It's,
yeah,
the start. And it's sort of like if one group is captured, so Kanan is captured here, what's the Inquisitor trying to do? Where are the other rebels? What's the larger picture?
Yeah.
What's the bigger,
yeah,
thing? He doesn't have
and
that information.
And we can't risk that. Yeah.
Yeah. Hera has the information, or like Fulcrum has it and is really kind of like just giving, they all, the commanders of all those different units, the rebel cells, they sort of, they believe in the cause and they are following people that they trust, like Fulcrum, like, mm-hmm, Bail Organa. And knowing that there are other rebels out there working and doing stuff. But if they knew where they were at, they could easily give, it could be
right,
tortured.
Yes.
Like the what are they called? The mind probe droids or whatever,
mm-hmm,
could come in and take information from them. So not good to have it all, you know, interconnected right now.
Right, yeah, makes sense. So the bigger mission long term is to grow the rebel forces and,
mm-hmm,
one day hopefully
to create the rebel alliance, yeah,
right,
mm-hmm, yeah, to bring them, so we're like 5 years prior to when Luke Skywalker,
mm-hmm,
the hero of the rebel alliance, like blows up the Death Star,
right,
so.
And so Bail Organa is like he oversees the whole like rebel,
he's a big part of it, yeah.
Okay, and
yeah,
and so Leia grows up with all of that, she does,
yes,
she know when she's like, he tells her all about,
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah,
and that's,
yeah,
what we see in the next movie, episode 4. That's
and Rogue
where
One.
We,
yeah,
start with Leia, right?
Yes, we start with Leia, and she has the plans, and,
mm-hmm,
she's trying to get to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right.
And in that message, she says, "You served my father, Bail Organa, during the Clone Wars. You know, he begs you, right, to help him again, to aid him." What?
Sorry, I just had to think about
what
did we watch the... Not Futurama. What's the other
one?
Oh,
we watched Blue Harvest.
Yeah.
Blue Harvest. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. When the message comes down and like Obi-Wan's like the,
yeah,
the message is up there. And it's all just logistical stuff. Don't. I'll look at this later. I'll look at this later. Yeah, that was crazy. That was.
Oh, sorry.
I love that. I love those movies. Those are funny.
Anyway.
Family Guy, Blue Harvest. Go watch it. It's great. But yeah, no, so Leia is in on the know, and is working with her father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for sure, that's okay. happening.
So that's the bigger mission here.
Yeah.
And hair but they're growing it
as they grow.
Is.
Once they get bigger in number and in strength, they can start to kind of all work together. You can see a unit shows up in 15. We're kind of talking about episode 14, 15 here. But yeah, in episode, there's a huge group of rebels that show up. Not just, I mean, we only have one ship. We have the Ghost. We're a rebel
right.
cell.
We're yes.
One just cell of one a larger part, yeah. organism. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's like they have a lot of ships, and they're a bigger rebel cell. And Ezra's like impressed about that. Now, in this episode, I want to mention, Ezra does say that he just has a feeling. So something in Star Wars is like, they either have a bad feeling about it, or there's like a good feeling about it. And in this, Ezra has a feeling that Kanan is not being held in a certain spot. He thinks he's somewhere else. Okay. And he just has these, was that the Force? What? It's the feelings that he goes with.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts to kind of trust himself more and trust those feelings and understandings and sort of give way to the Force and let the Force sort of guide him. So you start to see that happening in this episode and you start to see that emerge.
But it is something he has to learn along the way, how to interpret. Like, it's almost like, because when he had that vision, he also had a feeling.
Yeah.
And he misinterpreted it. So it's probably you start having those feelings, or maybe you had them. You always had them, but now they're even stronger because you pay attention to them. But you probably have to learn how to interpret them and what they mean. And
yeah.
That's part
to
of
be guided by the Force.
Them, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So they have a big sort of discussion just about what to do, and Hera ultimately decides that, like, they don't want to dishonor Kanan's sacrifice right now. Nothing can be done. Yeah. She was searching. They were doing some searches until Fulcrum says, no, stop. Mm-hmm. You need to stop. This is not good. So then Ezra devises a plan to get them all out and start looking for a way to get the information. So he goes to Visago. And this is where he pledges to kind of like, yeah, I'll do you a favor if you do me a favor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before all that, before they go to Visago, so they kind of tell Hera what they need. What was it? Ezra needs something for his lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
And she, so first of all, you can totally see it hurts Hera the most when she has to convince Ezra not to save Kanan because she wants to. And normally, when they tell Hera, here, we're doing this and we're going there, and she's like, okay. Normally, Hera is, we've seen it, she's not as easily fooled.
Yeah.
She is super smart. And I kind of thought maybe she might have known or kind of hoped that they were planning something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she wanted to let them go. Not
or
even
she's
like.
She's really distracted and emotional and wasn't paying as close attention. Too, it could be another thing too.
Yeah,
because she's normally she would have caught on something fishy.
Yes,
is happening. You're right. She doesn't. So is it because she wanted just to let them take the lead on that, or was she so emotionally just distant from the crew that she didn't even notice it was happening?
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good point, sweetie. Yeah, I like that. Another big moment here is when we go to Visago and Ezra reveals that Kanan is a Jedi. A Jedi, and he doesn't believe him. Ezra has to use the Force to kind of show him, like, oh, I'm also his apprentice.
Yeah.
So what's up? Now Visago's smart and realizes that okay, these guys would be important to keep around because they could pull off some jobs and missions that most people could not pull
keep
off.
Keep them on good terms.
Yeah.
So. When he said, like, Visago thinks it's hilarious that Kanan would be a Jedi. You know.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, why? Well, because Kanan held back so much to protect the secret for so long.
Yeah.
Like, he, remember in, like, one of the first episodes, he just lets Visago go with the cargo.
Mm-hmm.
He probably could have stopped him.
Yeah.
He was way stronger than he let on.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and that's the thing. So what we're going to see in the Kenobi series is that, like, when the Jedi use their powers and they open themselves up like that, like, the Inquisitors can find them. That Jedis leave a trail of hope and optimism and things like that. People get inspired by them. It's easy to track, easy to find. And when you use the Force, other Force users can sense you. They can feel that you're using the Force. So he's definitely kept it really hidden. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, when Ezra mentions this, it's sort of like, wow, okay. And it also, it starts to probably click for Visago, like, yeah, they've done some pretty impressive mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
And Kanan was someone that was really respectable and not someone that you was easily bullied or, yep. Or whatever. Mm. So yeah, he gives information about the courier droids and how they're taking data to and from the city. So, but yeah. for some sort of promise that like Visago's going to cash in on later. Right. I'll need your help on something in the future. And you don't know what or when, but you have to say yes.
We still don't know.
No, we have no idea.
He didn't come back in this or...
No, he just said, he said, hey, a deal's a deal. And he's like, so what do you need? And then he says, nothing today. I don't need anything today. But tomorrow, who knows? Right?
Yeah, you can't, like...
He says, I'll let you know when I want to collect. So, yeah, crazy.
My first thought was...
Dangerous.
It was just lightsaber. But he could have said that right there on the spot.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't think he wants the, it's more of the service or the job. He wants to, pull, mm-hmm. I think in the future, right, yeah. he would want to pull off some big job with Jedi mm. that they might not want to do because maybe it's not a good job. Maybe it's not a job that would be something Jedi would partake in, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So, now Hera is mad. She's upset. Yeah. She's upset.
I know.
She is, since you have the information, you have it, and that's all good. So they're going to use this information to locate a courier droid. Kanan still just we kind of cut back and forth between the Inquisitor and Kanan and Tarkin, just the torturing that's going on. So
yep.
wanting to know more about the rebels.
And they want to take him to Mustafar, right? And
yes.
I asked you, what's on Mustafar? Why is it so important? And why yeah. does Hera know that?
And Kanan told her. So Kanan said she's always known that Kanan's a Jedi. They're very close. By the way, these last two episodes inspired us to read a new Dawn. We're going to be reading a new Dawn Star Wars Rebels book. The kind of, I guess the
prequel.
Prologue to this or whatever.
Or prologue. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So let me think. Yes. So Mustafar, and I told you this. Mustafar is the planet where Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin battle it out. It's a lava planet. It's where they fight in episode 3, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So Obi-Wan beats Anakin there, and he's like left there to burn and almost die. Emperor Palpatine comes and gets him. Mm-hmm. And it's actually over the... That's been many, 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 many years ago. Mm. What would it be? 15, I guess, years years ago maybe or so. And since then, Darth Vader has built a castle there. Okay. It is Vader's castle. And it's his fortress. It's Vader's fortress. So when they get a Jedi, if they can't get something out of them or if they're not really sure, they'll ultimately take them there and they're never heard from again.
Yeah.
The Jedi go there to die.
Is that where they took a lot of Jedi during Order 66?
So 66, they just killed them, right? The clone troopers just shot them. And if they could kill them, that's awesome. If they got away, then the Inquisitors were tasked with hunting down the remnants. Like Kanan said, you know, like there were 10,000, I don't know how many Jedi there were, but like thousands were killed. That most of them, 98% of them were gone. 2% maybe left, not even that probably.
How did they shoot them that easily? Like the stormtroopers can't even shoot Sabine. How do they shoot Jedis just like that?
Yeah, they had literally no, like some Jedi had a quick moment of realization that like they're in the midst of a bunch of clone troopers. They're like a battalion. They're in the center. They're behind what would be enemy lines. They're standing next to thousands and tens of thousands of troops. And they're in the middle commanding those troops. Instantly, the troopers in their mind have a chip planted that goes off. And all of a sudden it says, like all of a sudden they without premeditation, moments before they were talking to Yoda saying, right, we got it, sir, absolutely. And they're like doing their thing. And then as soon, like if they got the order moments after, they would walk away. They would see issue order 66. They would turn around and they just shot. And they just started shooting at them. And the Jedi had no warning of it, no nothing. The clone troopers gave nothing away. They weren't acting funny or weird. They didn't even know. They had a memory implant. They're all clones. They were created, artificially created, right? Off of Jango Fett. And so they just turned on the spot and fired.
Right.
Yeah. And since there were so many, a Jedi can fight out of a huge group or whatever. Like we see Kanan face a whole bunch of bucketheads all the time. But we're talking about a really well, like also they worked with the Jedi. They knew how to, and they were hunting Count Dooku and others. So it was not easy for these Jedi to get away, especially when you think they've got your back and then you're confused. You don't necessarily know what it is that's happening.
Yeah.
And then you're just being shot at, and not shot at by just like one or two, but thousands of bolts. Yeah. You can't block all those.
Yeah.
So
wow. Did we? I don't remember. Did we get to see that in the movie?
Mm-hmm. We did. I can go back and show it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's okay. So you've only seen everything once. You've only ever seen episode one once, two once, three once. So it's hard to remember all those things. Cause we're in episode six now, just finishing it up.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll go back and I'll show you some clips of Order 66. Just so you can kind of remember. Episode three is a big deal. That's when Order 66 happens. The Jedi are killed. Yeah. Obi-Wan is attacked. Obi-Wan and Yoda are both attacked, but they survive their attacks. And then they meet back up and realize it's Vader, it's Palpatine. Yoda says, I'll go take the Emperor. You go face your former apprentice. You know, you go face Anakin. And Obi-Wan doesn't want to. He's like, send me to send. He's like, I'll take on Palpatine. And Yoda's like, you're not strong enough. You can't do it. You'll be killed. And so he says, take on your, And he does. And he goes and he has to beat Anakin. So, yeah, it's wild. All right, though. So, yeah, this episode, essentially, we're there. Chopper does, there's a great paint job on Chopper. He goes up, and he just does this awesome, epic moment where he's just in there behind enemy lines, transfers. He downloads the communication log, and then he sends out a signal. He plants an explosive right there. The ghost starts to attack, and then he just goes to a hatch and shoots out with his rocket. Yeah. You know?
He's awesome. He's so important to this Rebel Alliance and or to their group. You love droids. You talk about them all the time. And we sometimes don't give them enough credit.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, if we could have gone to Star Wars Celebration, I would have showed you the chopper droids. People make chopper droids.
That's cool.
Yeah, and R2 units and everything. So it's just really cool. I've even seen some of these droids that were in this, like the Imperial, the paint jobs where it's like an Imperial astromech rolling around. So they like this one, they had like black and red. I've seen people paint them up like that too. It's crazy.
So. Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, next year we're gonna go.
We definitely go next time. All right, so then the droid comes back though. Yeah, it was kind of funny. Chopper kicks the droid out the see
ya. And I was like, oh, what?
Yeah,
but he survives.
He's fine. So they realize they're going to Mustafar, and she says that's where Jedi go to die. And that's where this ends, and it says to be continued.
Mm-hmm.
To be continued. So, all right, friends. Well, we're going to click off here, and then we will dive right back into the next episode, wrap up our season one, and I think Lottie's excited to dive into season two.
Yes.
So we are just, plowing right on ahead. And this has been fun. It's been a good recap and a good reminder for me, actually, to go back and see a lot of these episodes. It's just been... it's been good. So, all right. Thanks so much. Please like, please subscribe, follow. You can follow Lottie at Charlotte Sue. Follow us at Fleur and Bill. By the way, we have an account over there. You can also listen to our Shell Cottage Radio podcast as well. You can also go check out one of my projects on YouTube. It's Super Easy Lore. And over on TikTok as well, I'm doing Super Easy Lore stuff, sort of a lot of different things. And also on Hyperspace Hangout, we are doing a crap ton of TikToks. We've got like all sorts of shorts and everything going on. You can follow Matt at Super Gains Bros on TikTok. You can follow me at Hyperspace Hangout. Check out all of our other projects as well too. We have tons of other cool stuff that you guys can look at the featured channels and go find some other cool fandoms to get into as well. So, all right, friends, thanks so much. And as always, may the Force be with you.
Bye.
Shaya.
Hey friends, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave us that review, check out our extra episodes on Patreon and Apple Premium. This is the way.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.